إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد نرحب بكم جميعا Welcome all of you once again. قال الإمام الصابوني رحمه الله تعالى في عقيدة السلف أصحاب الحديث أفضل الصحابة وخلافتهم. We have a new chapter still in the book of الإمام الصابوني, the creed of the Salaf, the people of Hadith, and in this chapter he's going to mention the best of the companions and their khilafah, and their khilafah. سنقرأ المتن كاملا ثم الترجمة بالإنجليزية ثم الشرح. We're going to read the متن, shall I be patient, all of it in Arabic, then the translation in English, then inshallah we have time, we'll read to you the explanation. Of our noble Shaykh al-Allama Dr. Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali حفظه الله تعالى ومتعه بالصحة والعافية وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات آمين. قال الإمام الصابوني رحمه الله تعالى في عقيدة السلف أصحاب الحديث ويشهدون, يعني أهل السنة والجماعة أصحاب الحديث, قال ويشهدون ويعتقدون أن أفضل أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أبو بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان ثم علي, وأنهم هم الخلفاء الراشدون الذين ذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خلافتهم بقوله فيما رواه سعيد بن جهمان عن سفينة الخلافة بعدي 30 سنة. ثم قال أمسك خلافة أبي بكر 2 وعمر 10 وعثمان 12 وعلي 6. وبعد انقضاء أيامهم عاد الأمر إلى الملك المعضود على ما أخبر عنه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. ويثبت أصحاب الحديث خلافة أبي بكر رضي الله عنه بعد وفاة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم باختيار الصحابة واتفاقهم عليه وقولهم قاطبة رضيه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لديننا فرضيناه لدنيانا, يعني أنه استخلفه في إقامة الصلوات المفروضات بالناس أيام مرضه وهي الدين, فرضيناه خليفة للرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم علينا في أمور دنيانا. وقولهم قدمك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فمن ذا الذي يؤخرك, وأرادوا أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم قدمك في الصلاة بنا أيام مرضه فصلينا وراءك بأمره فمن ذا الذي يؤخرك بعد تقديمه إياك. وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتكلم في شأن أبي بكر في حال حياته بما يبين للصحابة أنه أحق الناس بالخلافة بعده, فلذلك اتفقوا عليه واجتمعوا فانتفعوا بمكانه والله وارتفعوا به وعزوا وعلوا بسببه, حتى قال أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه والله الذي لا إله إلا هو لولا أن أبا بكر استخلف لما عبد الله. ولما قيل له ما هي أبا هريرة ما تقول, أقام حجة على صحة قولي فصدقوه فيه وأقروا به. ثم خلافة عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه وأرضاه باستخلاف أبي بكر رضي الله عنه إياه واتفاق الصحابة عليه بعده وإنجاز الله سبحانه بمكانه في إعلاء الإسلام وإعظام شأنه وعده. ثم خلافة عثمان رضي الله عنه بإجماع أهل الشورى وإجماع الأصحاب كافة ورضاهم به حتى جعل الأمر إليه. ثم خلافة علي رضي الله عنه ببيعة الصحابة إياه حين عرفه ورآه كل منهم رضي الله عنه أحق الخلق وأولاهم في ذلك الوقت بالخلافة ولم يستجيدوا عصيانه وخلافه. فكان هؤلاء الأربعة الخلفاء الراشدين الذين نصر الله بهم الدين, وهناك كلمة محذوفة قال والإلحاد, وقهر وقصر بمكانهم الملحدين، وقوى بمكانهم الإسلام، ورفع في أيامهم للحق الأعلام، ونور بضيائهم ونورهم وبهائهم الظلام، وحقق بخلافتهم وعده السابق في قوله عز وجل: وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم، وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم، وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا. وفي قوله: والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم، إلى قوله: كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار. قال الإمام الصابوني رحمه الله: فمن أحبهم وتولاهم ودعا لهم ورعى حقهم وعرف فضلهم فاز في الفائزين، ومن أبغضهم وسبهم ونسبهم إلى ما تنسبهم إليه الروافد والخوارج لعنهم الله فقد هلك في الهالكين. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تسبوا أصحابي، فمن سبهم فعليه لعنة الله. وقال: من أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، ومن آذاهم فقد آذاني، ومن سبهم فعليه لعنة الله. We read to you a translation of the matn of Imam al-Saruni in this point of Aqidah in his book The Creed of the Pious Predecessors, the People of Hadith, chapter 23, according to the English translation of the text. This chapter, the best of the companions and their khilafah. He says, the people of Hadith testify and believe that the best of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman, then Ali. They are the rightly guided khulafa, whom the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned regarding their successorship. He said in what is reported by Sa'id ibn Jahman or Jamhan ibn Jamhan from Safina, the Khilafah will remain for 30 years after me. The Khilafah will remain for 30 years after me. Then Safina said, take Abu Bakr's Khilafah for 2 years. Because Abu Bakr, he was for 2 years and a couple of months. Umar for 10. Uthman for 12. And Ali for 6. If you add all of this, he gives you 30. After this period, the affair will return to kinship, containing tribulations, as reported from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The people of Hadith are in agreement about the Khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu after the death of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the choice and the full agreement of the companions for him. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would speak of Abu Bakr in such a manner by which he would show to the companions that he, meaning Abu Bakr, had the most right to the Khilafah after him. And this is why they agreed on him and became united. So they benefited by his position, and they were elevated in their ranks, and they gained glory due to him. Then the Khilafah of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, by the appointment of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the agreement of all the companions, Allah, the one free from all deficiencies, used his position to bring glory to Islam and to make it great, as he subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised. Then the Khilafah of Uthman radiallahu anhu, by the consensus of Ahlul Shura and all the companions, and by their contentment with him, so that the position came to him. The Khilafah of Ali radiallahu anhu, through the pledge of allegiance of the companions when they realized and saw that the one who had the most right out of all the creation and was more entitled to the Khilafah at that time was Ali radiallahu anhu. They did not permit any disobedience or opposition to the Khilafah. So those four were the Khulafa al-Rashidun, through whom Allah aided his religion, subdued and overcame the apostates, made Islam strong by their standing, raised in their time the signposts of truth, illuminated by their brilliance, their light, and raised against the darkness, and made true via their khilafah. His promise, which he had, subhanahu wa ta'ala, previously mentioned in his The Most Mighty and Majestic, saying, Allah has promised for those who believe among you and do righteous deeds, He will certainly give them successorship on the earth, as He granted it to those before them. And He will grant them the authority to practice their religion, which He has chosen for them. And He will surely give in exchange a safe security after their fear. Also the statement of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who are with him are severe against the unbelievers and merciful among themselves. You see them bowing and prostrating, desiring the bounty of Allah and His good pleasure. Their marks are on their faces from the traces of their prostrations. This is their description in the Torah. Their description in the Injil is like a seed which sends forth its shoot and then becomes strong. It then becomes thick and stands straight on its stem, delighting the sowers, so that He may enrage the disbelievers with them. Allah has promised those among you who believe and do righteous deeds forgiveness and a mighty reward. Imam al-Sabuni continues saying, one who loves them, meaning the Sahaba, and especially the four Khulafa, the one who loves them, follows them, prays for them, acknowledges their rights, and knows their excellence, will indeed be successful. And the one who hates them, abuses them, and attributes to them that which the Rawafid, meaning Shia al-Rafida, and the Khawarij do, may Allah curse them, then he is ruined and destroyed. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not abuse my companions. Do not abuse my companions. For indeed he who abused them, the curse of Allah be upon such a person. And then something here that is not translated in the English. Which the Prophet says, whoever loved them, he loved them because of my love to them. And those who truly love the companions, due to the love for the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Those who truly love the Messenger, they love the companions, his companions. And those who hate them, they hate the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, those who harm the companions, he has harmed him, caused harm to him. And whoever abused them and slandered them, upon such a person, the curse of Allah. Now, inshallah ta'ala, we go ahead, after reading the matn, go ahead, inshallah ta'ala, and read to you the explanation of these points of aqidah of our noble Shaykh, Al-Allama Rabi' ibn Hadi, Al-Madkhali, Hafidahu Allah ta'ala, wa ghafara lahu wa al-walidayh, وللمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك في عمره وفي عمر علمائنا جميعا آمين. قال الشرح, قال بعدما بين المؤلف رحمه الله فضل الصحابة على وجه العموم كما تقدم, يتحدث هنا عن فضل الخلفاء الراشدين وإثبات خلافتهم رضوان الله عليهم. He says in a previous chapter, الإمام الصابوني رحمه الله highlighted the virtue of the Sahaba in general. He mentioned in the points of Aqeedah, now we're talking about this is the creed, the belief of the Muslim. In the previous chapter, he mentioned the virtue of the companions in general. Now he says in this chapter, he's mentioning and highlighting the virtue of the rightly guided Khalifa, the Khulafa al-Rashidun, the four Khulafa, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, radiallahu anhum, and he's affirming their Khilafa as well, that they are the Khulafa of al-Muslimin after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. قال فأهل الحديث يثبتون خلافة هؤلاء الأئمة الخلفاء الراشدين الأربعة أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي رضي الله عنهم. Says أهل الحديث, those who adhere to the narrations of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and therefore أهل الحديث, they are those who are upon the truth. They are أهل السنة والجماعة, those who are upon حق, because they are upon the narrations of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says the people of hadith, they affirm the Khilafah of these great Imams. Al-Khulafa al-Rashidun, the four righteous predecessors. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, radiallahu anhum. These are the Khulafa, al-Arba al-Rashidun. وَتَرْتِيبُهُمْ فِي الْفَضْلِ مِثْلِ تَرْتِيبِهِمْ فِي الْخِلَافَةِ. وعلى هذا استقر رأي أهل السنة. He says, the same way, their virtue, the order, Abu Bakr is the best of the companions. Then after him Umar, then after him Uthman, then after him Ali. They are in this order. Likewise in the Khilafah. The Khilafah as well. The Khilafah of Abu Bakr first, then the Khilafah of Umar, the Khilafah of Uthman, the Khilafah of Ali. قال واستقر على هذا استقر رأي أهل السنة بعد أن كان هناك بعض الأفراد من أهل السنة يقدمون علي على عثمان رضي الله عنهما ثم استقر أمر أهل السنة بعد الدراسة وبعد القناعة ممن كانوا يفضلون علي على عثمان استقر رأيهم على أن فضلهم على هذا الترتيب على ترتيبهم في الخلافة. He says, keep in mind now, alhamdulillah, that Ahlul Sunnah, they all agreed to this order in virtue and also in deserving the Khilafah. That Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman, then Ali. Even though it says at the beginning, some of the ulama, they used to give precedence to Ali over Uthman. Okay? They say, Abu Bakr, Umar, Ali, Uthman. He says, but alhamdulillah, that matter did not stand. Well, alhamdulillah, now all of the Muslims, they agree, and all of them, they agree that this is the proper way in this order. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, then Ali, radiallahu عنهم أجمعين. قال وكان بعضهم يغضب من تقديم علي على عثمان ويشتد في الكلام, لكن ابن تيمية يخفف من وطأة الخلاف في مسألة التفضيل, وإن كان استقر أمرهم وإجماعهم على تفضيل عثمان على علي. He says because then some of the ulama, they used to get mad when they hear someone who says that Ali comes before Uthman. Okay? But alhamdulillah, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentioned and highlighted that even that disagreement wasn't something that was big as related to those who they say that Ali actually should be before Uthman and the like. He said, keep in mind that alhamdulillah, now that Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they are on this order, that Uthman bin Ali. قال ابن تيمية رحمه الله أما الخلافة فمن طعن في خلافة أحد منهم فهو أضل من حمار أهله. He says, as for the خلافة, if anyone, you know, denies the خلافة of any of these companions, he said he is more astray than the donkey of his people. Now, وهذا لا يقوله في من يعترف بفضل عثمان وعلي لكن يفضل علي على عثمان ما يقال فيه أضل من حمار أهله لأن بعض السلف ومنهم سفيان الثوري وأبو حنيفة رحم الله الجميع كانوا يرون أن علي أفضل من عثمان ثم بعد ذلك مشوا مع الجماعة. Said, but this statement of Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is applicable on those who they abuse the Khilafah itself or they talk bad about the one of the companions as related to him deserving the Khilafah or not. And this doesn't apply on those ulama who for they have their own reasons who used to at that time see that Ali comes before Uthman. And from them is great ulama like Sufyan al-Thawri and Abu Hanifa rahimahumullah. They used to be on this, but alhamdulillah, but later on after that they changed their mind and they follow the majority of the Muslimin and the ulama of Ahl Sunnah and that was the Sahaba radhiyallahu alayhim wa rahman that in this order as Imam al-Saruni mentioned. And this is the order now that all of the ulama they give you, alhamdulillah, and the Muslims they pleased with Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman, then Ali. قال المصنف يعني الإمام الصابوني رحمه الله ويشهدون ويعتقدون أن أفضل أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أبو بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان ثم علي. He says they the أهل الحديث أهل السنة they believe that the best amongst the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is Abu Bakr. Is the best of all of the companions. Then Umar, then Uthman, then Ali. It's the statement of Imam al-Sabuni. قال الشيخ ربيع حفظه الله وهذا يعني هذا التفضيل دلت عليه أدلة كثيرة يعني على تفضيل أبي بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان ثم علي رضي الله عليهم. He says the fact that الشيخ ربيع says the fact that Abu Bakr is the best of this ummah amongst the companions and this ummah and then Umar come after him then Uthman and then Ali radiyallahu anhum. He said this, there is so many adillah for this that support this order, so many adillah that support this order, Abu Bakr then Umar then Uthman then Ali. قال فمن الأدلة على تفضيل أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان رضي الله عنهم أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صعد أحدا وأبو بكر وعمر وعثمان فرجف بهم يعني الجبل أحد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أثبت أحد فإنما عليك نبي وصديق وشهيدان. الحديث رواه الإمام البخاري رحمه الله في كتاب فضائل أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now from the adilla that shows the superiority of Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman, okay, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم once he was on Uhud. Uhud is a mountain, is a great mountain that loves the believers, and we love him as well. So the Prophet ﷺ, he climbed the mountain, him and Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. They were together. These three noble companions, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, they were with the Prophet ﷺ. Prophet ﷺ, he said, listen, they went and they went on a mountain, okay? Tayyib, they were on a mountain and the mountain shook. Rajaf, huh? Shook, right? The mountain shook. So the Prophet ﷺ said to the mountain, Uthbut, be firm, Uhud. Huh? Be stable, Uhud. It's only on you, only on you, a prophet, a truthful Siddiq, and two martyrs. The prophet is Muhammad ﷺ. The truthful is Abu Bakr, the two martyrs, Umar and Uthman. And look, at the time they were alive. Abu Bakr and Uthman and Umar and Uthman, they were alive. But the Prophet said they were martyrs. And they were killed, both of them. That's the nubuwa of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's one of the proofs. Another proof is a longer hadith, a little bit, slightly. عن أبي موسى الأشعري رضي الله عنه قال خرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى حائط من حوائط المدينة لحاجته وخرجت في إثره فلما دخل الحائط جلست على بابه وقلت لأكونن اليوم بواب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم يأمرني. Here, let's translate this first portion, inshallah. On the authority of Abi Musa al-Ash'ari, one of the great companions, from the companions and messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhu majma'in, he says, the Prophet, now he's telling us that one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he proceeded until he entered one of the gardens. From the gardens that are in Medina. It is trees and the like, okay? To relieve himself, okay? He says, so I went, I followed him. So when he entered into that garden, he says, I stayed by the entrance of that garden. And he said, I'm going to be his doorman today. Okay? And I'm not going to, he said, I'm going to be the doorman of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, and he didn't order me to do that. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't tell him, come here Abu Musa, you stay here. No. He just followed the Prophet ﷺ. He knew that the Prophet ﷺ went there for that reason, so he didn't follow him. So he stayed by the entrance, and he's going to be the doorman. So what means is like going to prevent people to proceed. Okay? And he said, وَلَمْ يَأْمُرْنِي. He said, the Prophet ﷺ didn't order me to do that. قَالْ فَذَهَبَ النَّبِيَ ﷺ وَقَضَى حَاجَتَهُ وَجَلَسَ عَلَى قُفِّ الْبِئْرِ فَكَشَفَ عَنْ سَاقَيْهِ وَدَلَّاهُمَ فِي الْبِئْرِ. So the Prophet ﷺ, he finished what he went there for. And then there was a well. You know, there was a well in there. And there is like a circle that is built. Huh? You know how they build the bricks or wood racks now, whatever the material they use at that time. He said, the Prophet ﷺ, he sat on the edge of the well and exposed his legs, saqay, legs, shins, that's legs, no? Shins is not legs. The leg is a whole thing. The leg, where the leg starts at? From the hips or from the knees?
From the hips there.
The whole thing, okay. So we say the shins. Alright, so he exposed his shins. You know how a person put like this, what do you say? That? Tuck it up? Whatever, okay. I thought we were brothers here, man. It's supposed to help me out. They just look at me, huh?
You're right.
Achi, if there is a little pool or something and you want to stick your feet or whatever, what do you usually do?
Tuck it up.
That's what I just said. Thank you. You said them right?
Yes.
All right, you got a gift. Alhamdulillah. I don't know what it is, but inshallah, we think about
something.
I just
didn't see it loud enough, I'm sorry.
I didn't hear you, man. Okay. So, hey, alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. Ala ayin, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wadallahuma fil bi'r. Allah, Nasir, translate. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he exposed his shins, maybe by tucking up his garment, or his izar, and what?
Dangle
his feet?
Like hanging.
Hang his feet in a well. But keep in mind, he's sitting now on the edge, and like this, you see it? Aina. Tay. So they are suspended, right? Because they're not touching anything. Tay. Why the Prophet ﷺ doing that? Now Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, he says, فَجَاءَ أَبُو بَكَرْ يَسْتَأْذِنُ عَلَيْهِ لِيَدْخُلْ. He said, Abu Bakr came and he asked permission to go, you know, to go to the Prophet ﷺ, to join the Prophet ﷺ. فقلت كما أنت حتى أستأذن لك. أبو موسى الأشعري said to Abu Bakr, stand where you are until I seek permission for you from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. So what Abu Bakr? Did he tell him, oh, you don't know who I am? Huh? I'm Abu Bakr. فوقف. He waited. Subhanallah. He waited. Look at the akhlaq of the Sahaba. فوقف. He said he waited. Abu Bakr, he heard that, he waited. قال فجئت إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقلت يا نبي الله أبو بكر يستأذن عليك. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إذن له وبشره بالجنة. الله أكبر. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, he went to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he said to him, O Messenger, O نبي الله, O Prophet of Allah, Abu Bakr is here and he's seeking permission to come in. The Prophet ﷺ says, grant him permission and give him the glad tidings of Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Give him the glad tidings of Jannah, that he's from the people of Jannah. فدخل فجاء عن يمين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فكشف عن ساقيه ودلهما في البئر. Allahu Akbar. At that moment, when he was given permission, Abu Bakr entered into that garden until he get by the Prophet ﷺ and he sat to his right. And he exposed his shins and did what the Prophet ﷺ did. Huh? And hang his feet, you know. He sits, same way the Prophet ﷺ was sitting. These are the people, ikhwan, they sit with the Prophet ﷺ, they learn from him, alhamdulillah. فجاء عمر. Now Abu Musa, where he at? Did he say, hey, so he's sitting, let me just sit too? SubhanAllah. Look at the Sahaba, ridwanullahi alayhim. The adab and the akhlaq. He stayed where he at. قال فجاء عمر. Now عمر came. After a while, عمر came. فقال لفقلت كما أنت حتى أستأذن لك. He said to him the same thing. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said to Umar, stay where you are until I seek permission for you from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إئذن له وبشره بالجنة. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, yes, grant him permission and give him the glad tidings of the Jannah. سبحان الله. فجاء يعني عمر عن يسار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فكشف عن ساقيه فدلهما في البئر. فامتلأ القف فلم يكن فيه مجلس. الله. Then Umar رضي الله عنه, he went and sat to the left of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in that same area when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was sitting, and he did the same thing that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was doing, and Abu Bakr, he sat in the same way. ثم جاء عثمان. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he says, then Uthman showed up. Okay, he came. فَقُلْتُ كَمَا أَنْتَ حَتَّى أَسْتَأْذِنَ لَكَ. He said to him, also, stay where you are until I seek permission for you from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, Uthman, he stayed right there. فَقَالَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم, إِئْذَنْ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ مَعَهَا بَلَاءٌ يُصِيبُهُ. Prophet said to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, yes, give him permission to come in and give him the glad tidings of Jannah, subhanAllah, but with a calamity that will befall him. He has the Jannah and with the calamity that is going to befall him and a trial that he's going to go through. فدخل عثمان فلم يجد معهم مجلسا فتحول حتى جاء مقابلهم على شفة البئر فكشف عن ساقيه ثم دلاهما في البئر. He said, Uthman, he went there and he found that the area where the Prophet ﷺ was sitting, there is no room. You know, Abu Bakr took the spot to the right of the Prophet ﷺ. Umar radiallahu anh took the spot to the left. So he is no way to sit in that area. So he went in front of them. in the other side in front of them. He said, and he sat in there. He did the same thing. Tuck up his garment and hang his feet in a well. ثم دلهم في البئر قال أبو موسى فجعلت أتمنى أخلي وأدعو الله أن يأتي. So Abu Musa, he says, he is a brother of mine. I was hoping that he may show up. قال ابن المسيب فتأولت ذلك قبورهم اجتمعت ها هنا وانفرد عثمان. سبحان الله. Now ابن المسيب سعيد بن المسيب, one of the great علماء from the Tabi'een, he interpreted this, what happened, the fact that Abu Bakr and Umar, they sat next to the Prophet ﷺ, while Uthman sat in front of them, not with them in the same side. He says, he interpreted as their graves. As their graves. Since the grave of the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr and Umar, they are on the same spot. And that's true. You find the Prophet ﷺ was buried where? In Aisha's house. Okay? In her room. Okay? And Abu Bakr was buried next to him. ﷺ. And Umar, he, radiallahu anh, he ask permission from Aisha. So he was the Amir al-Mu'mineen. SubhanAllah, akhlaq sahaba. He was Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he asked permission. He said, Aisha, if I die, would is it okay if you if I be buried next to the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr? She said, of course, of course. Even though she said, I was hoping for that spot to be for me. But then Umar, he told his family that, look, if I die, go ask her again. Ask her again. Don't go and tell her, hey, you already said. Go ask her again. Subhanallah. Out of, just in case if she was just shy of him when he was alive. Look at the sahab. He said, if I die, ask her again. If she grant permission, then bury me over there. If she doesn't, it's okay. Allahu Akbar. على أي قال يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أبو بكر وعمر دفنوا في مكان واحد وأما عثمان فدفن مع الصحابة في البقيع. He said, so Ibn al-Musayyib, he says that the way that the Prophet, that Umar and Abu Bakr, they sat next to the Prophet ﷺ, one to the right, one to his right, Abu Bakr, Umar to his left. He said, these are their graves. Now keep in mind, when it comes to the graves now, it's not like that the Prophet ﷺ in the middle and Abu Bakr on the right, left. Then they both of them to next to the Prophet ﷺ. When you go to pay attention now, pay attention, okay? When you travel, and I said pay attention, right? When you travel with the intention to visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what do you see? What do you see? The graves. Who you see first?
You shouldn't travel with that intention.
You shouldn't travel with that intention. Ahsant, that's why I say pay attention. It's not from the sunnah to make intention to travel to see any grave, or to visit any grave, including the grave of the Prophet. That's why I say pay attention. Now, pay attention again. When a person travel with the intention to visit the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's okay or not? It's okay? Why it's okay? Wait.
Three masjid. One is like Masjid Al-Aqsa.
One like the Masjid Al-Aqsa. Okay? The Masjid Al-Aqsa, Ahsant.
And Kaaba.
And the Masjid Al-Haram.
And Masjid
Al-Aqsa. But it's better to do it the other way around. What's the most important one? The number one is? Al-Masjid Al-Haram. Then number two?
Is
the Prophet's Masjid, then Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Ahsant, na'am. لا تشد الرحال إلا إلى ثلاثة مساجد. No one travel to visit a masjid except for three masajid. So you don't make your intention now to go, I don't know, New Jersey, Texas to visit a masjid. You see? No, there is a dawra, ilm, knowledge, that's what you go. But you're not going to go and making the intention to go visit a masjid. There's three masajid you can make the intention and travel. Alright? What about those who make their intentions to go and visit, travel to visit what? The pyramids. You see how it is? Subhanallah. Now, so pay attention to these things. You want to go to another. Some people, they just like, oh, let's get together. We're going to go visit this masjid, man. It's a beautiful masjid. They says they spent $5 million. First of all, ask, is it permissible to do that? But if you're going for a seminar, for example, you say there is a seminar somewhere of knowledge in another state, another town, and you're going to travel, you're not traveling for the masjid. You're traveling for what? Knowledge that is going to be conducted in that masjid. Okay, now, Jazakumullah. So, Sa'id ibn Musayyib, rahimahullah, he says, so this hadith, he understood from it that the way that Abu Bakr and Umar sat next to the Prophet ﷺ, that's why they were buried next to him. Okay, and that's what it is. If you go to Medina, and once you're there, it's permissible for you to visit the grave of the Prophet ﷺ and give him salam. Say, salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Then you move a little bit, couple feet, you will see, you find yourself in front of the grave of Abu Bakr, you give him salam, salamu alayka ya Abu Bakr. And then you move a little bit, you find the grave of Umar. And there is the ulama, they wrote many books about the etiquettes of visiting the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, and once you're there visiting the grave of the Prophet ﷺ and the grave of Abu Bakr and Umar, so a person should learn, so that we don't fall into innovations. So as you go, as you're walking, you don't even have to stop. You're walking, so you get yourself in front of the Prophet's grave. You say, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, keep going. As-salamu alayka ya Abu Bakr, As-salamu alayka ya Umar. Ya Khalifat Rasulullah, kada. But you don't do like the Mubtadi'ah, the Juhal of the Muslimin, meaning Juhal, they stand in front of the grave. And they face the grave. Keep in mind now, the grave is like this, the Qibla is like this. And they face the grave and cry. Some even they ask the Prophet ﷺ, oh, Ya Rasulullah, shirk. Some they want to go and kiss the wall. But now, alhamdulillah, they have a barrier, an obstacle between the wall, the room, and the people. And they have police in there, and officers. And they have some students of knowledge and mashayikh, who they direct the people and tell them, La dala yajuz, this is not. And they remind the people of the etiquettes, the right etiquettes of visiting the graves in general, including the grave of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions Abu Bakr and Umar. It's not permissible to face the graves and make dua or face the Qibla. It's not permissible, of course, it's shirk to ask the Prophet ﷺ anything, okay, or Abu Bakr or Umar. It's not permissible to believe that rubbing one's face or hands around that wall cure from diseases or this or that. That's all. This is not from the deen of Allah, rather from the muhdathat, from the innovations. Now you find those juhal who, when the alhamdulillah, because the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, alhamdulillah, they protect the Muslims from shirk and from bid'ah and innovations. That's why they have officers in there, they have students of knowledge, mashayikh. You find the Ahlul Bid'ah and the Rawafid too, they go outside. When they tell them go out, they go out and face the grave and cry, Oh Rasulullah, yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was buried where? In Al-Baqi'. Al-Baqi' is the graveyard. It's still up to this time. It is to the left of the masjid. When you like to the Qibla, is to the left corner. And that's when many companions are buried in there, and from them is Uthman. Naam Nas. Some people, they may bring a misconception, and they say, especially the Sufis, and those who they don't know, they say, you guys, when they say you guys, mean those who are trying to adhere to the Sunnah. They say, you guys, Ahlul Sunnah, you think you're upon the Haq, and you say it's not permissible to pray in a masjid that have a grave in it, and this and that, because the Sufia, they believe in so many things, and one of them is that they build masajid or they bury their big shot sheikhs in the masajid. And they think that's okay. When somebody tells them this is not okay, the Prophet ﷺ, Naha and Alik said this, that, they said, are you kidding me? The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, his grave is in the masjid, in his masjid. Alright? Is it true? He's not in his masjid. Okay? It's not in his masjid. The Prophet ﷺ, when he died, was he buried in his masjid?
No.
Did he say, when I die, bury me in my masjid?
No.
Where was he buried? No. Outside the masjid. In Aisha's room, which is not a part of the masjid at all. Okay? So, the ulama from Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, Sheikh Ibn Baz, and others from the ulama of the past as well, they say, so the Prophet ﷺ was not buried in his masjid, and he didn't give an order to be buried in his masjid. Even though now it seems like it's a part of the masjid, but because of the expansion, one of the khulafa, the one of the rulers, not the Khulafa al-Rashidun, one of the rulers of, I think his name Al-Walid, if I'm not mistaken, he made an expansion and he made a mistake. The ulama, they said, he made a mistake and he included he built and expanded by including the masjid, the where the Prophet ﷺ is buried. But now, even though it's separated, the ulama, they says it's separated. It's not a part of the masjid. Aynam. It's not a part of the masjid. Ala ayin wants to, Zakallah khair, wants to clarify that. So nobody will tell you this shubha. Hey, wait a minute, I just came from Umrah, akhi. And we're right there in the masjid, and the grave of the Prophet ﷺ is right there, and he's saying it's not permissible. But the Prophet himself, his grave is in his masjid. No, it's not. Okay, so now you know how to answer, inshallah ta'ala, to those things. Now, قال الشيخ ربيع حفظه الله ومتعه بالصحة والعافية فهذا الحديث يدل على فضائلهم وشهادة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لهم بالجنة وفضائلهم كثيرة كثيرة وكثيرة رضوان الله عليهم. So this hadith of Abu Musa is a proof and highlight their virtue and the testimony of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم for them that they are from the people of Jannah. The Shaykh Rabi'a wa ta'ala says, as for the virtues of these great companions, the four khulafa are many. Many and many. Ridwanullahi alayhim. Wa minha kama qala ibn Umar, and also the Shaykh, he mentioned a couple of this. He says, from them, as Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying in this hadith that is collected by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, rahimahumullah. بين أنا نائم أتيت بقدح لبن فشربت حتى إني لأرى الري يخرج في أظفاري ثم أعطيت فضلي عمر بن الخطاب قالوا فما أولته يا رسول الله قال العلم. This hadith is agreed upon by Imam Bukhari and Muslim رحمهم الله on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, who says, I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, while I was asleep, I was given a jar of milk. And I was drinking until I see the milk coming off my fingernails. And then I gave the leftover to Umar ibn al-Khattab. What leftover to Umar ibn al-Khattab? They says, what do you interpret that, O Messenger of Allah? He says, knowledge. Al-ilm, knowledge. And that shows the virtue of Umar radiallahu anhu. وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Likewise, Rasulullah صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ said, in this hadith, there is collected by Imam al-Bukhari or Imam Muslim, as well on the authority of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, بَيْنَا أَنَا نَائِمٌ رَأَيْتُ النَّاسَ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَيْهِمْ قُمُصٌ مِنْهَا مَا يَبْلُغُ الثَّدِي وَمِنْهَا مَا يَبْلُغُ دُونَ ذَلِكَ وعرض علي عمر الخطاب وعليه قميص يجره قالوا فماذا أولت ذلك يا رسول الله قال الدين قال الدين Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم once also he said while I was asleep I saw the people being displayed in front of me okay and they are wearing garments. Some of them reach the level of their breasts. What do you call it? The thadi. Their nipples. Now, while less than that. While their garments reach less than that. While Umar radiallahu anhu, he has a garment that he was dragging it. Huh? So they said to him, O Messenger of Allah, how did you interpret this? He says the deen, the religion. Aynam. This also from the virtues of the Sahaba radiallahu alayhim, mainly Umar radiallahu anhu. And then the Shaykh is gonna mention the fada'il of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We'll leave that for the next class. We continue inshaAllah ta'ala with you next Tuesday. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those people who have firm aqeedah, the aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as related to the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim. This aqeedah is well known, alhamdulillah. It is found in the books of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Many of the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah, they mention in their books the makana, the position, and the virtue of the companions of the Messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ridwanullahi alayhim, especially the four guided Khalifa Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum. They mentioned that the one who loved them, that's from Iman, that's a sign of Iman. And so how a person can be on Iman and yet abuse the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, curse them, yet still like the Rawafid who they say they kuffar, wal'iyadu billah. Other ulama, along with that, they have lines of poetry. They have lines of poetry that mention and highlight the virtue of the companions. Like Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahu ta'ala, he says in his Lamiyya, حُبُّ الصَّحَابَةِ كُلُّهُمْ لِي مَذْهَبٌ وَمَوَدَّةُ الْقُرْبَ بِهَا أَتَوَسَّلُ وَلِكُلِّهِمْ قَدْرٌ عَلَى وَفَضَائِلُ لَكِنَّمَا الصِّدِّيقُ مِنْهُمْ أَفْضَلُ. He says that loving the companions, of course this is from his Lamiyya that started with يسائلي عن منهجي وعقيدتي رزق الهدى من للهداية يسأل اسمع كلام محقق في قوله لا ينتني عنه ولا يتبدل. And then he says حب الصحابة كلهم لي مذهب ومودة القربة بها أتوسل. That it is from the manhaj of, and the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, those who are upon the right guidance, that from that is they love the companions, all of them. If somebody wants to be upon the right creed, they wants to be upon the haq and the truth, he has to love all the companions, not choose three or four and says the rest are kuffar or they munafiqoon wal iyadu billah, but rather you have to love all the companions. They have to be your madhab, and all of them have qadr, they have high rank and have virtues, the companions. But the Siddiq, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he is the best of them. Likewise, you find in Al-Ha'iyya of Al-Imam Ibn Abi Dawood, the famous Ha'iyya that starts with Tamassak bihablillahi wa tabi'i al-huda wa la takun bid'iyyan la'allaka tuflihu wa din bi kitabillahi wa sunnah allati atat ar-rasulillahi tanju wa tarbahu, until he says, wa qul inna khayra an-nasi ba'da Muhammadin wa ziraahu qidman thumma Uthmana narjahu. ورابعهم خير البرية بعدهم علي حليف الخير بالخير منجح. Until he says, say the best of the people after Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is his wazir, who Abu Bakr and Umar, and then Uthman. نرجح meaning he comes before Ali, and the fourth of them is Ali رضي الله عنه, the best of the people after them, حليف الخير. وإنهم للرهط لا ريب فيهم على نجوب الفردوس بالنور تسبحوا تسرحوا, that they are the people, no doubt about them, they are in the Firdaus. الله أكبر. ثم قال سعيد وسعد وابن عوف وطلحة وعامر فهر والزبير الممدح, this is the rest of the عشرة. And then he says, وقل خير قول في الصحابة كلهم وَلَا تَكُنْ طَعَانًا تُصِيبُ وَتَجْرَحُ. He said, see? Then he says, say good about all of the Sahaba. Don't slander or abuse any one of them. لَقَدْ نَطَقَ الْوَحْيُ الْمُبِينُ بِفَضْلِهِمْ وَفِي الْفَتْحِ آيٌ لِلصَّحَابَةِ تَمْدَحُ. He says, because the wahy, the revelation, highlights their virtue, and we have ayats in the revelation about the Sahaba that praises them. So this is the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wa Al Jama'ah about the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim, and no one who abused them or mentioned bad things about them and still claim to be upon the Haqq. How can they be upon the Haqq by abusing and slandering those that Allah has praised in the Quran, those that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has praised? نسأل الله السلامة والعافية. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.